Now is the time for our scripture lesson, and we ask that you would join with us as we go into the Word of God. Meet me if you would, or join with us as the words would be on your screen in the book of 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 9. Gather your families, gather your children, and read with me, follow along with me as we hear from God and seek to hear what he has to say to us. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 through 9, and it reads, "Be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In all this, you greatly rejoice, though now, for a little while, you may have had to suffer great grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." The word of our God. Thanks be to God. My sermon title this morning is "I'm Authentic." I'm authentic. I'm just old enough to remember what box TVs were. If you are like my grandmother, you may still have them in your home. I remember more specifically that with these big old TVs, there was no remote. And when you bought those big old TVs, they blended in with your house furniture. You know, if you got it, it was like a big old piece of wood that blended in with the paneling in your home. And it had a big, huge back to it that you could not move. And if you did, you had to shuffle it, or you had to push, you had to really come up with some type of way to maneuver it around because it was so big. It was oversized, gargantuan. But it wasn't because the display was so big. It was because, you know, all the other accessories within it. And our youth today will never know that struggle, especially if you are like, you know, RJ's age or Trey's age. They will never know what it was like to have to turn the channel knob. And if the channel knob wasn't there, you had to get some pliers and turn it clockwise until you got to the channel. And you best hope that you didn't miss the channel, because you couldn't go backwards. You had to turn it and keep turning it until you got back to the channel. It was about 15 or 20 channels or so. But, you know, it was still an inconvenience. It wasn't like typing in a number now. And so, you know, the young adults may remember this, but the youth may never have gotten to experience this luxury, as we call it. Because you did not have a remote, nor was there any cartoons that played during the week, you would find yourself a lot of times on this television, having to watch all of the commercials. And all the commercials may be, you know, a Coke commercial, some kind of family commercial, or, you know, an occasional traditional announcement or advertisement that is no longer playing anymore. You know, everything nowadays is... Anyway, I won't talk about it. But the one that stuck out to me the most is this one about these gold coins. And even today, they still play. It's like these this info commercial, you know, that would come on usually later in the evening before the TV would be turned off at a certain point, and it would start playing the American national anthem or the national anthem and all that before it just went black. There would be this commercial that would come on, and I'll never forget it. With this commercial, it would be something like, you know, buy your gold coin. And because you didn't have credit cards or anything, you'd have to call them to get a catalog. They would send you the catalog and you'd have to purchase it. But at the end of that commercial with the gold coin, they would say that it's an authentic coin. And not only is it authentic, but to prove its authenticity, you would have to, or they would send this kind of certificate with the coin to let you know that you can invest it, that it is really real gold and all of this. And that's kind of where we find ourselves in today's text, this authenticity. This, dear friends, online friends, church family, specifically youth and young adults, is where we land in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 9. You see, that is to say that on last Sunday, as we celebrated, when the church gathered to celebrate Christ and his resurrection, we put out an infomercial to the world that says, Christ Jesus lives today. We have songs that testify that he walks with us, that he talks with us along life's narrow way. He lives. Salvation to impart or to give. You ask me how I know he lives. It's because he lives within our heart. Christ is authentic because he lives within us. We feel him. We experience him. We communicate with him and he with us. Not only does our songs and our experience tell of Christ's authenticity, but we have eyewitness accounts. Again, this is where we find ourselves in today's scripture lesson. You see, Pastor Peter and his, his writing companion, Deacon Silas, are star celebrities within the Christ Church. And Peter, who used to be Saul, was chosen specifically by Jesus to be the leader or pastor to Christ's followers when Jesus was long gone off of the scene. Pastor Pete and Deacon Silas are writing to their congregations scattered throughout Rome. We know off the bat that Rome isn't a good place, because if you continue to read the rest of Peter's letter, you find that he compares Rome to Babylon. Just in case you didn't know, Babylon in the Old Testament was a place of oppression for Hebrews who would later be called Jews, which is, you know, what Jesus was. Then Christ would challenge the custom of Jews and produce his own followers who would later be called Christians, even though they weren't called Christians at that time and at first, and then would spill over to converting people who weren't religious at all, called Gentiles. This is who Peter is trying to communicate. This is who Peter is pastoring. And so basically Peter, he says, and is writing to these new group of Christians to say, under his leadership, of course, and under the auspices of Christ, he tells them the same thing that all Christian churches everywhere should have been saying last week, that Christ lived, died, and was resurrected so that you and I would be saved. And the pastor tells his members by letter, you know, because they didn't have cell phones and they didn't have internet, that even though you cannot see him, something makes you love him. Even though he is not visible to you now, you feel him. You can't help but to be filled by the joy that comes from being his new creation, sinless, redeemed, better than what you were before you met him. In other words, Pastor Pete authenticates Christ. Peter is a walking billboard and commercial of who Christ is. Do you need proof that he exists? Pastor Pete says, fill him yourself. You want some type of letter that verifies who he is? Read your Bible. Read Peter and Paul. Read the Gospels. See him throughout the totality of the collected books called God's Holy Word. Ask me. Ask me personally. How do you know this man? And I will tell you, he lives. Yes, Christ lives. He lives within my what? My heart. However, what if I told you that Christ is not the one who needs to be authenticated in the text? What if we search for the most, or what if the thing that we search for most in our Christian journey, particularly those who are younger in the faith, what if the thing that we search for most is our authenticity? How can we be Christians in a world that feels like Babylon and not react accordingly? You know that being Jewish doesn't equate to their religious practices, but that being a Jew means that everything they do, even the way that they dress, the way they look and act, is revolved around their faith. Did you know that? Did you know that nor should others be able to decipher their culture from their religion? What I mean is, Jews can be persecuted for just being who they are, similar to how just being black can get you killed or a baseless overdose. Yes, it's the same for us, for you, or for your kids living under one. So how, as a young Christian, when school and work seemed impressing than being in the church? We have homework, we have jobs, we have athletics, we have chores, we have band and color guard, we have choir and orchestra, we have relationships. How can we be authentic in our faith when there seems to be so little time for us as it is? Now, you want me to pray and read scripture? After everything that I have to do, or all the things that I have to balance, you want me to try to be a good Christian on top of everything else? You want me to attend Bible study? You want me to get on church on Sundays and watch virtually, even though my parents may not be doing that and they tell us to do it? It's hard to be an authentic Christian. What does being authentic to our faith even mean? I get it. And while I'm painting the picture with a broad stroke, I know that there is so much that is expected of our teenagers and young adults today. I understand how there is a longing for a temporary escape. I understand the need for drugs and for alcohol, for toxic friendships and irrational thoughts. I understand those who deal or have issues with porn and with sex. I understand when you have a moral compass and everything that you do seems to go against that moral conflict, and everybody around you seems to go against that moral attitude that you may have. There can be major issues when your morale or your morals go against the nature in which you live. I get it. I understand having eating disorders and anger. I understand exclusion. It all makes sense. So what does it mean to be authentic in the midst of all of that? As a Christian, my own thoughts, my own interpretation means being authentic is being a follower of Christ and choosing Christ regardless of the situation. And I get it. We say this almost every week in Bible study, but being authentic as a Christian is hard work. It is not easy. Man. And do not let the church Karens tell you that it's easy. Don't allow your parents to tell you that it's easy. Don't allow your closest friends to tell you that they have it all together and make it seem like they're perfect. Because those amongst us who are the worst at being authentic, and that is an authentic Christian, can sometimes be the most seemingly put together. Don't let that be you. What does Peter say about you and I being authentic? He says, and listen, I put together a quick list, so allow me to move forward from here. In simple words, he basically says you have to inherit by belonging to Christ. You have to inherit by belonging to Christ. And then you have to identify as a follower of Christ. In other words, you have to go through the process of authentication. Okay, I can't say it. My mouth is dry, so y'all forgive me. Have to go through this process of authentication, whatever, before we can identify as an authentic Christian. We must realize how we became or how we become Christians. Read again with me verses 3 through 5. It says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercies, he has given us what? New birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Verse 4 says, "And into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade. This inheritance is kept in heaven for you." Inheritance. Gentiles and converts. Remember, this is who Peter is pastoring, and this is who he's reaching out to, who he's writing to, is these Gentiles and converts. And why is that important? We've talked a lot about Gentiles, at least. I know that when I've spoken to you before, especially from Paul's letters, we've spoken about these people who did not belong to this overly broad religious community. There were a lot of different sects within Jewish community, but they weren't Jews. They weren't religious. They didn't attend synagogue or church. They didn't go or practice these traditional customs, for they were outsiders. Remember that word? That's the word that we used last third Sunday for our youth and young adults Sunday, was outsiders. And Paul writes to these Gentiles and some Jewish converts. And as Peter is writing to them, Peter says that even though you may be different, even though you have some things going on, even though you may not identify with the customs and practices, listen, you are still included. That is, they inherited the kingdom of God. What makes this so substantial about inheritance is that, you know, you expect somebody that belongs to the family to receive something.
You expect those that belong to the family to get this kind of overall glory and majesty of belonging to the family, having that name that comes with being associated with the family. But when you're an outsider, you don't believe, you don't have that same luxury of receiving what we would call the inheritance of Christianity. What is the inheritance that you received? I'm glad that you asked. Having an inheritance from Jesus Christ means that when you die, and even when you live, you can call on Jesus. You can receive the Holy Spirit, that your sins are washed, that he would walk with you and talk with you. I've already said many of these words before you, but let me reiterate to you that as a Christian and as being an inheritor of Christian values, of the luxuries of being a Christian, what you get from that is the power of Christ, that redemptive work, that you don't have to worry about your yesterdays because today you've been redeemed. But again, the reason why it's important is because it belonged to people who did not belong to the body initially. And that's all of us. We're not Jews. We weren't the Hebrews. But thank God that he forgave us and that he gave to us his son. So the first thing, the first step of the process of being authentic is making sure that you receive this inheritance. And the way that you receive this inheritance is by confessing with your mouth, believing in your heart that Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. The first step of receiving this inheritance and of this process is not only confessing Christ, but also knowing that the way you walk, the way you talk matters. And then the inheritance would be yours. And not only is it this inheritance given to us, but it's given to us by no action of our own. You see, Jesus Christ died on the cross for us with his blood, and he washed us thoroughly because of our sins and of our sins. It's nothing that we've done and nothing that we can say that would change that or make that any better. The inheritance comes even though we are different. And then the second step of the process, and I'm done, is not only must you receive an inheritance, but you must identify as a Christian. We get this from verses 6 through 7. And it says in verses 6 through 7, listen to these words. These have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold. Peter here says that your faith is greater than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Identify. What do I mean by this word identify in this process of being authentic? What I mean does not start with the outside. Being authentic, an authentic Christian, that is some too hard words to put together. An authentic Christian, and y'all, you know, whatever. Don't be trying. I know I messed up earlier with the authentic, whatever, okay? But being an authentic Christian, and in this step of identifying, is not about the outside or the exterior. It is about what happens on the inside. Your test, your faith is proved by genuineness, by being tried. Amen. Let me say that again. Your faith is tried or proved by your genuineness. That's still not right. Let me say it one more time. Your faith is tried and tested. And once your faith has been tried and tested, then can you be found genuine. So listen, these problems that you're facing in your life are not new. These life crises are not new. Peter points them out in the text. He says, you're going to be tried like fire. Just like gold is tried by fire. You know, in order to get gold, it goes through this process. Remember the gold coin, the way that it's made authentic is by going through fire. Gold has to be melted so that it can be shaped and then it can be stamped. And sometimes that's what life seems to be like most often, is that when we are going through this process of identity, it sounds like and it feels like we're being tested by fire. That all around us, we are trapped in from the heat and from the flames that surround us, that we can't go right before we run into something. We can't go straight before we go into something. We can't go left before we jump into something, that the fire surrounds us and it melts us. But in this process of identity, we will be stamped genuine. Holy God, help us this morning to know that we are authentic when we identify most with the fire we are tested by. Listen, do not be succumbed by the fire. Do not doubt the fire. Rejoice in the fire, because it proves and it lists us as genuine, as authentic. I have watched a movie this past, I think it was last week. It was on Amazon. I think it was about Ireland or something like that. I really don't remember. And in the story or in this movie, there's this this antagonist. So it's not the good guy in the story, you know, the bad guy. And in this story, the man comes and there's a question asked. What happens is he's a law official coming in to kind of get the town ready. It's an old movie. It has Johnny Depp in it. And in this movie, Johnny Depp comes in and I really don't know how to say his name. I think it's Depp. And as he comes in, as this official and he's getting the town ready or whatever, what happens next is that the guy that's overseeing the town kind of wonders why he's here. Cause he's like, everything is okay. I mean, why do you need to come in and inspect the town? And so Johnny Depp's character says, well, there are some things that need to be straightened out. And again, he's not the good guy in the story, so, you know, don't take everything for analogy. For the sake of an analogy, he says, I need to make sure that the truth is being told. What is your procedure? What are you going to do to get the truth? And he says, back to the man that's overseeing the town originally, in order to get the truth from these people, is patience and pressure. How will you know when you... And Johnny Depp replies, well, there is a certain tone. A certain tone enters the voice. And he says, when seeking, you first will encounter lies. So you add more pressure. And then you will get more lies. And then you'll get some more lies. And then you apply more pressure. Then a break. And after the break, you apply more pressure. And then the truth. Identity requires there to be proof, to be tried by fire. Peter says, you will be tried by fire. And this is when you will receive your identity. And it seems that it goes just like that movie. That sometimes we will get some pressure. The pressure will not end. There will be some breaks in between, and then more pressure will be applied. There will be some breaks in between, like some good days and some parties and friends being on your side. But then you'll have some bad days where when we get on Bible study, one of our youth and our young adults tells us that one of their friends have been killed. Senselessly, there's fire. And then there will be some breaks in between where we can rejoice for youth and young adult Sundays. And then next, there'll be more fire applied because some kids want to rebel against their parents and run away from home. There will be fire, but then there's a break in between because we'll have some good days and there'll be no lies happening in between and everybody seems to be happy, go jolly. But then we'll get a phone call from a parent that says, my kid is strung out on drugs. There's more fire. Then there'll be some breaks in between. You know these breaks all too well. School is going well. Grades are going well. But then there's some more fire. We see on the news where a 22-year-old girl in Houston is killed who's pregnant with a 6-month-old baby. Fire in between. But listen, he says, identify with the fire because the fire will try your genuineness. And only then will you be found to be authentic. And I know that sometimes it's hard, parents, to watch our kids go through this stage. I get it. Matter of fact, I don't want to give any spoiler alerts, but there's a show on Netflix called Jenny in Georgia. Now, I'm not going to spoil it, but Jenny in Georgia is this mother and daughter couple, or duo, or whatever, I guess you can't call them a couple, but it's a mother and daughter relationship. And they're crazy. It's a crazy show. But it speaks so authentically about relationships with teenagers. What happens in the midst of this show is, at the end of the first season, Jenny finds out that her mother, Georgia, is not who she says she really is. And so the teenager has an issue whether she should follow after her mother's footsteps or whether she should be her own person. I'll let you leave or watch the show. Matter of fact, I'm to go watch this show. And I understand that even in the midst of it, even though teenagers are going through stuff, are dealing with their teenagers and asking God, why is this happening to me? And it's the same situation that I say to you, that I say to our youth and young adults today, there must be some fire, that you must be tried by the fire. In church, not only are the teenagers and our youth and young adults tried by the fire, but we also are tried by the fire. We have to also have an identity by fire. When things happen, how do we stand in the place of helping our parents? How do we stand in the place of helping those who need help most? So Ebenezer, not only must we belong to the family of God and the family of Christ, not only do we belong and become the people of Christ in the world, but we have to realize what our identity is. So I call out our mission and our brotherhood to find its authenticity, authentication, whatever. We have to find in our choir department. We have to find on the usher board. We have to find in our church leadership what it is that we want to be identified as. Because when we're tried with the fire, I said when we're tried with the fire, when we've gone through those hard moments with our youth and our young adults, how will we end up on the other side of it? Well, I tell you how. Scripture says we'll come through like pure gold. My friends, this morning, that's all I want to leave you with. Be an authentic Christian. Be an authentic person. Follow Christ no matter what the circumstance may be. And when you've gone, when you've been tried by the fire, listen, every day afterwards will get better and better because you know that the fire is good. So God bless you. I leave you with verse 7. It says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, or of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined by fire, may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Receive now our invitation to discipleship.
Ebenezer members and online friends, it is our prayer that the message today has been a blessing to you and to your family. We pray that God's Spirit will implant the word deep into your hearts and give you the assurance of God's love and grace. We invite you to follow Christ with us. If you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian today. All you have to do is believe that God has come in Jesus to save us from our sins, and that Jesus gave his life on the cross, and that God raised Jesus from the dead on the third day. If you believe that, you are a Christian. We welcome you to the family of God, and we pray for you daily. We'd like to hear from you. We'd like to hear your story. You can reach out to us on our website at ebc3austin.org. You can follow us on Facebook and Twitter. You can also subscribe to our YouTube channel and join us each Sunday for worship. You may also reach us at our church office at ebcoffice@sbcglobal.net. Thank you so much for joining us today, and may God's peace be with you until we meet again.